Hey everyone, this is Jerry Fabianic on KYGT LPFM 102.7 to 103.9, and coming at you here from the center of the universe, and that of course is Clear Creek County, Colorado, up in the studio of the K-Goat the radio station here. And with me in the studio, oh, by the way, this is Writer's Talk, and with me in the studio right now is Lisa Reinecke. And Lisa Reinecke is the majority holder of Our House Publications and author of the 2018 Book Excellence Award finalist, Football Flyboy, and four published children's picture books, including 2018 Purple Dragonfly Honorable Mention, Bart's Escape Out of the Gate, and 2018 Book Excellence Award winner for the category of Friendship, 2018 Purple Dragonfly Honorable Mention, and 2017 Gold Mom's Choice Award for Lifetime Literary Excellence, Wings and Feet, for sale on Amazon and independent bookstores. Lisa is a storyteller and author of 35 children's books appearing on local TV shows, elementary schools, and bookstores. The stories have been published in three collective recordings for distribution for a Good Night's Sleep company. So, Lisa, welcome.
Hi, Jerry, and hi, everybody out there. I am so happy to be here, and thanks for having me.
You've been on the radio with me before.
I have, and you're always fun. So I always feel like I'm at home, and I'm with somebody I know, and everybody out there, I can feel their warmth, and I just love being here.
Oh, man, and we've gotten to be friends over the last couple of years through the writing process here, and I write more in the adult level, and you're, you know, obviously a well-published and well-recognized, honored children's book. I'm just learning so much about children's literature and the complexity of it. You know, you want to talk about that a little
bit? It is. I mean, everybody thinks, oh, you know, a children's book, there's not very many words. It's got to be a little bit easier. Heck no. I mean, you have 500 to 1,000 words to develop a character, tell the story, get a setting in, and do all that. But also, too, it's different as a writer because usually you know what genre or what age group that you're writing for. But with a children's picture book in that age range from 4 to 8, you're really writing for the child and the adult at the same time. Because if the content isn't good for the adult, they're not going to buy it for the child. And also, you want to give the parent and the child something to talk about and help with their education and their responsibility level and help make them into a better person. So you're writing for both the child and the adult.
Yeah. And, you know, when I think of this, and we're going to talk specifically about Wilhelmina's wish and what brought that about. But jumping ahead a little bit, because there's some great life lessons in there that you mentioned you're writing in a way, not in a way, directly for specifically the children, but also the adult. One thing that comes to mind is either a parent or a teacher, you're certainly going to read the book and then work with the son or daughter or the student to help understand the great lessons in it.
Right. Yes. So the thing about it is you want to give them something good to grasp onto so that there is a discussion, there is something to talk about between the two of them. And you also want the adult to enjoy the book as well as the child.
Yeah, and let's move into Wilhelmina's wish in particular, because it's a very unique story to me, and it's also very timely, which I think a theme is very universal. So let's talk about that.
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to tell you how it's about your self-esteem. Wilhelmina had one wish. She wished she didn't look like this. And that is the whole premise behind it, because I can remember when I was, you know, that age, that 6, 7, and 8, and you're in school and you're starting to compare, you're getting into school, into kindergarten, or even preschool, and kids start to, you now have a complex of what you should look like and what you shouldn't look like. Even Disney will tell us what we should and shouldn't look like. Anna and Elsa are beautiful, and some of those characters are beautiful. So we start early on telling kids what they should and shouldn't look like, And it's important that at that young age, we get across as you are who you are. You're your authentic self. And if you come to come into the world with a smile, you're beautiful.
Yeah. And in our culture, it is, traditionally been European white dominant, and in large part still is. And so when we look at the stars, if you will, on TV, you mentioned Disney, for example, or in even on the news, there's a certain look they need to have. Now, that has been, to me, translated like into people of color also.
Yes.
So talk about that.
Okay, I want to talk about that. People of color or different nationalities or something like that, because the illustrator was fabulous in this book. She was 17 years old when she did Wilhelmina's Wish for Me. And I kind of let her go with her, with what she wanted to do. And then we pulled it back in a few different places. But what I love what she did is Wilhelmina isn't black or white.
Hmm.
If you look at the picture, you're not sure. You don't know it. And there's a little anime in there. So it gives her maybe a little Asian flavor. She's a fairy, which is an imaginary person anyway, an unseen people, hidden people. But also at the same time, it's easy for a child to identify with what the illustrator did there, because you can look at her and put yourself where she is, no matter what color or what nationality you are. It's very easy to identify with her.
Yeah, and when we know children, little ones, they get out and play in the sandbox when they're 2, 3, 4 years old. They don't know the difference between, you're of this race, I'm that race, or whatever.
They don't know color. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, they're colorblind.
They are, and I love that. They look at the kids in the sandbox, and if they're there with a smile, they're their people.
And then eventually they start to learn there are differences in some way, and with differences comes judgment. And that also then starts to me get translated within the race itself. So whether one is Caucasian, African American, some other form of, we'll say, people of color, there's still a look that people need to have. And if you don't have this particular look, you're different. You're not one of the cool kids.
Right. Yes. Absolutely. If if there's, Wilhelmina has a unibrow. So, and there is a model with a unibrow, and I love what she embraces, because she's saying, this is who I am. I'm not going to shave it. And we don't shave it in Wilhelmina either. And I have some parents come up to me and go, why didn't you just shave it? No, I'm not shaving it. It gives her character. It makes her who she is. And she comes to realize is that's almost a beauty mark for her. And I think that's the way a lot of us can be. We have something wrong with us. We have a mole. We have something small or something big. But it can become our beauty mark and who we are if we just are who we, if we let ourselves shine out, if we let our personality come out, if we let our smile come out.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all don't know what I look like behind this microphone.
Yeah.
But I am smiling and I'm happy and I'm hoping that that shines through.
It does. Trust me on that one there, because I feel that energy, and you and I have become friends, and I think in large part for that. But when you're talking about how parents comment and say, well, maybe why didn't you have her shave it or something like this, wouldn't that defeat the whole purpose, the whole point of the story?
Sure, because then you can just go get some plastic surgery and change who you are.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing.
Right.
Because there are times when you go look in the mirror and you do need that help, and it helps your self-esteem. But as little kids, we don't want them faced with that. But I'm talking to adults out there. If that's something that you choose to do, then that's something that you choose to do. But with little children, I think we want them to be comfortable in their skin and comfortable with who they are, so that they can go out in the world and make a difference.
Yeah, and I think it. I won't get too far off the top, but it ties in. But you talked about the smile.
Yes.
And when one authentically smiles, what is the first thing people see behind the lips? You know,
the teeth. But they also see your eyes.
Yeah.
Because your eyes smile. They twinkle. They bring you in to them. They bring you into your soul, into yourself, and they invite you into their world.
Yeah, inviting there. And, you know, and I think of the teeth because there's so much out there now about straightening out the smile.
Yes, yes.
You know.
Almost everybody now has braces.
Or implants,
right?
Or something
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. And they feel so much better about themselves. And it doesn't matter what the rest of the body looks like, right? But it is the smile itself and the eyes, like you say,
right.
They light up. And it's a lot tougher to frown physically than it is to smile, isn't it?
Well, for me it is, but I've been around some people that droop comes naturally.
Well, that could provoke it anyway, that we're human and it all comes yeah. part of this here. And, you know, so how did then the character Wilhelmina himself, you said, you know, like in your own personal experience there. So let's go back to Wilhelmina. And the roots of her character, and develop that a little bit more.
Okay, I want to tell you this story of I just was stuck with this one sentence in my head, and I could not shake it, no matter what I do. Wilhelmina had one wish. She wished she didn't look like this, and it just kept going over and over in my mind, and I couldn't figure out where it came from. I couldn't figure out what to do with the story, but I knew that. By it nagging me that I needed to do something. The more I thought about it and the more I developed Wilhelmina, I realized where her character was coming from. And that we adopted a little girl out of social services when she was 11. And at 12, we took her to one of the church functions. They were having a girls' party where they do their nails and makeup. And, you know, the pretty girls were there, and I took Maddie, which she is beautiful, by the way. But I took her, and when I picked her up, she had painted a unibrow on her. She had done her eyebrows as a unibrow and put on all this red lipstick. And, you know, it was completely different than the other girls, you know, who had made themselves prettier with the makeup. And it was then that so many years later, I realized that's how she sees herself.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me want to reach out to the girls out there who don't think they measure up. Even in grade school, they don't think they measure up to the beautiful girls who have the ribbons in their hair and mom fixed some pigtails this morning. And they go out in the world and they feel a little bit inferior.
Mm-hmm.
And it was then that I realized that we really need to speak to that.
Yeah, and let me ask you then with Maddie, and when you saw her and you said, this is who she is, what was her emotion at that time? Was she happy and proud of it, or was she kind of like a little embarrassed?
You mean after she painted her unibrow?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, she's a hoot anyway. I mean, she was and always is a funny kid, but there's something... with that humor, you know that something's down in there. And when she gets serious, it comes out. And I call her my tender-hearted child because she is. She's my hugger. She's my tender heart. And she's funny. But then when it comes out, you know, the dam kind of bursts and you see that inside and how she really feels.
Yeah, and that's a joy. And again, I don't want to get off topic. And I think of a lot of the comedians, especially the female comedians, mm-hmm. who aren't exactly the poster women, you know, you would see in Hollywood or something, like in this very stereotype and everything. And yet you love them. Because what do? They tell jokes, they make you laugh, they bring you, you know, they make you lighthearted. You think of Saturday Night Live.
Right.
Those ones. And
Gilda Radner. I don't know, probably nobody out there is as old as me that can remember Gilda Radner.
Yes, quite a few.
Yeah, but she wasn't a beauty, but we loved her.
She wasn't a beauty in terms of
like, she wasn't a Lana Turner, She wasn't part Greta of the marriage. Yeah. But she was beautiful. I don't mean that like that. Like, she wasn't beautiful. She was beautiful, but she wasn't the Hollywood typical.
Well, and I think it comes back to your theme here about beauty, you know, that old phrase, the skin deep.
Right. Because she was beautiful to all of us. And a beautiful person. I think when you talk about a beautiful person, it's much different than talking about a beautiful outside person.
Right. Exactly. So, and we'll get more into that there. I do want to remind our listening audiences, this is Jerry Fabianic on KYGT, LPFM, 102.7, 103.9 here in Clear Creek, Colorado. This is Writer's Talk on the Rabbit Hole, and visiting here with Lisa Reinecke, author, a prolific author of children's works. It's great stuff. And we're talking specifically about Wilhelmina's Wish. Now, let's shift a little bit here, because you mentioned Wilhelmina is a fairy.
Oh, yes, yes.
She's not human, so why that, and what's that about?
Well, I'm going to tell you, first of all, everybody kept telling me, you cannot give this child a unibrow. And so I was going to have a child in it, and everybody kept going, you can't do that, Lisa. You can't do that. You can't give her a unibrow. So I said, okay, well, I'll give a fairy a unibrow. How the fairy thing all came to being. So I went to Iceland, and I learned so much about the Icelandic culture, in that there are hidden people. There are trolls and fairies and elves, and they're the hidden people, and they really believe in them, but they protect the hidden people, and hidden people live just like you and me, and they have the same problems as you and me. But yet the humans have great respect for the hidden people. So I learned that, okay, if they live in parallel lives, then this fairy would have the same life that a human would have, and have the same problems that a human has. And I think I learned from the Icelanders how having a respect, even though we may not believe in fairies and elves here in the United States, or maybe you do, that they had a lot to teach the Icelandic culture. They taught them respect for somebody who's different than them. If they think a troll mound is in the middle of a road, they will reroute the road to not disrupt the troll's home. So they have a great respect. That's taught them a respect for other people and other cultures that I think we miss here. So to me, those fairies and trolls maybe are really very important.
Well, and it when you talk about that, Lisa, reminds me, and I can never say the man's name enough, Joseph Campbell, and the idea of mythologies, and how we're all trying to say tell the same story all over the world. We just tell it in different ways. How did we get here? Why are we here? What's going to happen when we die? And we talk about how the universe came into existence, and all of us in local cultures have different beliefs, in those ways. And in this particular case here, it's like a naturalistic type of religion, in which the spirits, and I think of when you mentioned Iceland, but also like the leprechauns of Ireland.
Right, yes.
Okay, and that earth-based type of mythology there. And, so there's other lessons to be learned from this as well, through Wilhelmina.
It is. And another thing to realize, too, is in Iceland, they don't have the diverse culture that we have in America, where, we're a nation made up of other people. Mm-hmm. We weren't here from the Vikings. I mean, in Iceland, it's pretty much the Vikings that settle there, and they're on an island, and that's who they are. Here in America, we came from all over. We came from Germany. We came from Africa. We came from we have the Native Americans. We're from all over. So we have a lot of different cultures that we can relate to. They only have the fairies and the trolls, really.
Right, and so there's lessons, the metaphors of that. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's an excellent point there, because then you get an isolated culture such as what's in Iceland. Okay, it's a small island way to the north in the Atlantic. And, so it does have a dominant culture, whereas ours is far more heterogeneic. in structure. And so, but that doesn't mean that we don't have hidden people ourselves within that larger culture. So let's talk about that.
Oh my gosh. I don't know. This kind of gets deep right there, Jerry. But there is a spiritual realm. I think I can include most of the majority of people who are out there. I don't know. You guys can agree or disagree with me out there. Have your own opinion. But I do think that we all believe in some sort of a spiritual realm, whether, I mean, a creator, angelic beings, even demonic beings. I mean, I think that we all agree that there's something spiritually out there.
Yeah, and within our own culture, and I'm trying to think of the African-American writer back in the 30s and 40s, and he wrote Invisible Man. He says, I am not an invisible man here. And so sometimes going back to Wilhelmina is that when we're particularly in the age, kids' age, and it starts there when kids move out of the sandbox into schools, and they start to learn there's differentiation there. And then as they go through elementary, it kind of grows. But by the time they get to middle school, when they start to change physically and start to mature, that's when the differences really start to come out in a physical sense. You know, some boys are taller than others, you know, and girls, girls develop faster than boys physically. And then what is that image out there that I need to look like in order to be successful within my larger group? And that's where I think also where hidden people start to come in, because when you're feeling intimidated because you don't fit that norm, you tend to go into your own little closet and you go into the back sometimes, except for Maddie, which I love.
Oh, gosh. Okay, that was kind of something to think about there. You gave me something to really ponder. And there is a hidden, there are hidden people of what you need to look like. Oh, I don't know how to explain that, but that is, there's something to think about right there.
Yeah. When causes himself to be, it might have been Langston Hughes that says, I am an invisible man, is that people see me, but they don't see me for who I am.
Oh, okay. Like your soul or your inner being, because we are spiritual creatures. I'm getting you now. Okay. So we are spiritual creatures.
Yeah.
But we let the outside dust of what we are dictate who we become instead of relating to our soul as we speak, or our spirit, or what's inside of us speak.
This is amazing. We're talking about
no mirrors.
Yeah. Yeah. Get rid of the mirror.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's great, because in psychology, the mirror represents ego.
Well, it does. And when we go by it, we see an image of ourselves. And if we don't like that image, we want to change it. Yes. But that image is only dust.
Did you ever watch the series back 20 years ago, Will and Grace?
Yes. Yeah.
And Jack was the gay man in there. Well, Will was also. Yeah. And Will and Grace in just one episode were really ripping on him about being so narcissistic and egoistic, and he's denying all that. And after as he's walking away, above the fireplace is a mirror, and he glances into the mirror. And then he just sort of primps his hair a little bit there, proving exactly what they were.
I wrote Wilhelmina, right? But I go look in the mirror. I looked in it today before I came to make sure but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do the most with what we have. I mean, we should like clean up and try to
present
comb our hair, brush our teeth.
Yeah. Well, those are societal norms. And I think, you're exactly right. But we're going to take a little bit of a break here, and let's pick up on that point there about, yes, be comfortable in your own skin, yet at the same time, project a beautiful image, you know, in certain ways there. So I just want to remind our audience, this is Jerry Fabianic on KYGT, LPFM 102.7, 103.9, and visiting here with Lisa Reinicke on Writer's Talk. We'll be right back. Okay, hey everyone. Yeah, we're back on Writer's Talk here visiting with Lisa Reinecke. And when we were taking a break here, Lisa, you made a comment, a question I had asked you, and you said, Wait a minute.
Yeah, because I kind of misread what you were talking about with the hidden people. I kind of went way out there. But then we were talking, and I went, wait, I know what you're saying now about the hidden people, not the hidden other stuff that's out there, but the hidden people that we don't see, the people who are ordinary, or they may have something wrong with them, and we look right past them, afraid to look at them because they're different. Those were the kind of hidden people, and I went, oh, wait, I think we can go back to that.
Yeah.
I want to throw out something really interesting is that I have six grandkids. So with what I had a couple of them at the museum with me one day, and a lady had a prosthetic leg and she had shorts on, and the kids were looking away from her like, I don't know what to do. I don't know if I need to smile at her. She's smiling at me, but I need to look away. And said, okay, this is the opportunity not to do that. So we were sitting on the same bench as the lady was sitting on, and I started up a conversation with her, and we got to that, and I said, well, how are you doing? How are you getting along now with after your accident or whatever happened? I said, how are you getting along? I said, are you in pain, or how are you doing? She, like, it poured out. Like, somebody is sitting here talking to me, and they're not asking me what happened to my leg. They're asking me how I'm doing. And the kids just, when we left there, the kids started talking to her. I mean, she became she was not hidden anymore.
Right.
To them. And I think that they left, we left, and they go, Mimi, I can't believe that you started talking to her. I said, but she's a person. I said, why shouldn't we would talk to anybody like that? And if they had their arm in a cast, we'd say, well, how are you doing? Or, in any other conversation that we would have with anybody else that's different than us, you shouldn't look away.
And that's a great theme, I think, comes out of all your works, but this one in particular. How do we move past our fear? We see someone who is, quote, different. It might be physically. It might be, and I'm a retired teacher, a new kid in the classroom who seems to have some psychological problems, or issues, social issues. And we're intimidated. We don't know how to broach them. And yet you did.
We did. But also, too, I think we almost have to play like we're blind. Okay, so in the story of Wilhelmina, the owl, we don't know up front, but the owl is blind.
Oh.
And we don't know that right off the bat. But at first, Wilhelmina just, she's sitting there, she's feeling so bad, and she's telling the owl her problems, and he goes, I don't get it because I can't see ya. So the owl is blind, and I think that is an important thing. If we almost play like we're blind when we look at someone, or shut our eyes just even for a moment and feel their being, then we won't see the outside for even a second. If we can put our blindness on to just see the inside for just a moment, we see somebody very different.
That's fascinating, because the owl, that there's this, within mythology, there's two things about the owl. One, it's wise.
Mm-hmm.
It knows everything. But it has an acute eyesight.
Right.
And it doesn't have the eyesight, but it's still wise.
Yes. So I think that was, it just came to me that, We have very good eyesight. We have such good eyesight that we see what we want to see. And so if we can close them for a moment, we'll see a person as they really are.
And don't let our vision blind us.
No.
to the beauty around us. Helen Keller once said, what's worse than being blind or not having sight? And she said, being blind to the reality around. So that being open to that there, that's great there. I love the way you developed the outlet in a story.
Now, I want to go back to what you said just a minute about, you know, that maybe they have some social issues or something like that in class. Those type of things for kids, I think they need the help of an adult to maneuver those challenges, because there are things that we do have to handle differently, and we have to get to know that person a little bit to know what triggers them or doesn't trigger them. So I think an adult needs to come alongside of them on those issues, because those are a little bit different to maneuver around than just, you know, this girl has not so much anymore, but a cleft lip or something else that's mm-hmm. Down syndrome is a good, what more can you say about a person with that syndrome? Is they're beautiful.
Yes.
They're gorgeous. There's no other word for them. Their insides and their soul and what their smile and their happiness and their joy is gorgeous.
And you bring up about the idea, the notion, which is true, about the adult helping the children maneuver through some of these events there. Because when they're little kids, they might just ask you the question and say, hey, Mom, how come that woman there doesn't have a leg? Well, when they're, you know, little right. ones like that. But once they start getting uncomfortable, they go, well, that's different. So to help them break that down, so you have the adult. But I always said, I was a teacher, but I was a teacher only for those students for a very short time in their lives. Who is the primary teacher for any child?
Their parent. Yes, they are. And I want to talk a little bit about the parent in Wilhelmina, because it's a mom, and I'm not saying that dads can't do this too. It's just, I have 1,000 words, okay? I had to make it somebody.
No need to apologize.
But in this story, mom is empathetic, and she does try to help Wilhelmina through it. She says, oh, let's just put some sequins on it, or let's put some decorations here. And, you know, mom is saying, okay, Wilhelmina's throwing a fit and she's crying, and mom's just trying to make her happy. Mom does try to help her through it without going off the deep end. But then also, mom does a very important thing, I think, and she let it breathe.
Explain that.
Sometimes when we get ourselves into situations, even as adults, but especially as in children, if you can let any situation breathe for a short amount of time, sometimes it gets easier. And with breath, things go in and out and it calms down. And you think about your breathing when you're exercising. There's a rhythm to it. There's a way to get through things. Breath is really important. Mm-hmm. So mom lets it breathe a minute, and Wilhelmina gets to struggle just for a short amount of time with what's going on. And you notice here that the owl could be a teacher or somebody else. It doesn't always have to be mom or dad that fixes the problem.
Yeah.
Or that is the answer to everything. When I think back in my life, the people that helped me through situations were not always my parent. But then when you're a parent, the first thing that you say is, I am the answer. I am here for my kid. I need to be everything for my kid. My kid is the most important thing in the world, and that is true. And however, there are other people in their lives, aunts, uncles, grandparents. I mean, I can't tell you what my grandparents did for my life. That come along beside them and have just this one tiny bit of wisdom that sticks with them for the rest of their life.
And I could see in Wilhelmina's wish how the owl is kind of like Gandalf is in Lord of the Rings, or Yoda or Obi-Wan in Star
Wars. Mythical creatures, that hidden people.
The mentors the wise one comes in and knows everything. And, you know, and I go back, you know, just real quick on like Star Wars. And Luke says, I can't believe that. And he says, that's the reason you fail. Size matters not. I mean, there's such great lessons.
There is great lessons. And it just to, you know, Weaver, we've got an hour and a half. We've got 1,000 words to make a difference in a child's life. One other thing that's very important, though, for parents is that after she goes through, and Mom lets it breathe a minute, and Wilhelmina meets the owl, and the owl makes all this difference. Wilhelmina comes back home. She that bond with the parent is never broken. It's never in danger. It's never replaced. But she comes home to Mom and she says, I have something to declare.
Hmm.
So she's going to, and then she tells Mom, I have one wish for Mr. Owl, that he could see my brow right now. So she has a realization. Mom has helped her. The owl has helped her. But it gave her a change in the way that she viewed things between Mom and the owl. She had two different things, but two different people trying to help her through it. And she eventually came to the important conclusion.
That speaks to me, Lisa, of gratitude. That she matured enough that she was able to see past her own limitations and rose above it. And then come back to say, I so appreciate this. Now, what can I do for you for helping me in the first place? And to, in this case here, to allow the owl the gift of sight, even for a moment.
Right.
Spoiler alert, so I'm not going to ask you.
It's okay. It's a children's book, and you're going to read it to your kids, right? We can spoiler alert. The important thing is sometimes kids get so wrapped up in, I want that Lego set, I want a cupcake, I want this, I want that. In America, we don't know want, like other countries want no want. I mean, yes, we have our people that are homeless, our people that don't have anything. But we also have a very grateful society that gives back. And I think it's important at an early age for kids to teach them to give back. And especially when we're raising a new generation coming forth that has much more than I did when I was born in a long time ago. But, you know, our culture has more now than the cultures that came before us. And I think it's important to teach kids to think of others and think of, well, I don't like this, but look at this. And so she changes and she wishes something for someone other than herself.
Which is maturity. And this is a healthy psychological development in which one learns empathy, generosity, that it's not about me. It's not about Jack looking in the mirror and saying, ooh, it's only about me. The people that those who can look at a blank wall and see their own reflection, okay, that we're all in this together and we share this commonality, one just in within our humanity, but also we mentioned like with the spirits, whether one believes in a distant God or angels or gnomes and elves here on earth, that what is this energy that flows amongst us here, that there's really no separation and we're all in this together.
We're all here on earth together. It's not going to change it. So we might as well help our fellow man. I think it's important even at this really young age that we help them recognize that. And one of my biggest needs, I guess I would call it, is to get a book into every child's hand that doesn't have a book at home. And if we can get stories like Wilhelmina that show us about empathy, about self-esteem, about helping others, for these children who don't have what maybe our children, parents who are listening to this, maybe their children have a lot. If we can get our kids to start thinking about that, and if I can get this book into the kids' hands that don't have a book, what a blessing that might bring to their life to have a book that teaches you about your self-esteem, about life lessons, and about gratitude in your home that they can read.
Yeah, and I'm we have just a couple minutes left, Lisa, and so let's lead into your other work here. You're an author, but you also go into classrooms.
I do.
And what are those areas that, A, you specifically do, and then if people want to, parents, teachers, coaches, ministers, whoever, would like for you to come in and visit with the children, bring your works, whatever. Talk about your website, all that good stuff.
Oh, okay, all that stuff that we want you to come to, right? Come on over and read our stuff. My website is pretty easy. It's just my name, lisareinicke.com. So it's, we can spell it. It's Lisa and then R-E-I-N-I-C-K-E. And then that's just my website. It's full of free stuff, too, coloring sheets, videos. Your kids can watch us dye eggs and all kinds of fun stuff on there. But then let's go back to what they can do to help partner with me to make sure that I get books into the kids' hands. Is we make sure we work with Book Trust for 3 months out of the year. And now is my time that we're working with a couple of other local authors and schools that we're identifying classes where maybe the whole class does not have a book at home.
Yeah.
And so we're making sure that we collect enough books for kids who would enjoy those type books, some for boys, some for girls, or just some that's generic. But what we want to do is, between me and a few other authors, we're making sure that those kids get a wrapped gift of a book and a small stuffed animal or something into their home. So when you purchase a book, know that a portion of that is going to go so that we can get these books. And some of the other authors, I have to purchase their books from. So that gives me money to be able to purchase those books, find the school, wrapping paper, donate the books, and get those into the classroom. And what was the other part of that question?
Well, you're answering it there, that if people want to get a hold of you, and then
yes,
with the services you offer, and if they wanted you to come into the classroom and how to do that.
Absolutely. The other thing I want to talk about is that when I go into the classroom, I love that, first of all. I love going in. Oh, I get hugs all the time. So that is a blessing for me, not you, teachers. That is a huge, huge talk about making your spirit feel good to go into those classrooms and see those faces.
Nice.
We talk about writing. Sometimes they get to name my new book or a new character in my book, or I'll help them write a story. And sometimes we read the story. It's what the teacher's looking for at the time and what they're studying. I try to go along with that teacher and make sure I meet their needs as well.
Wonderful. And you have a big event coming up here in Clear Creek in Georgetown.
Yes.
First part of December.
Oh,
so.
I love this event. Oh, and you know, it is so much fun to get together. You put it on every year, I think, with the Book Nook. And it's a lot of work. I know you do a lot of work to pull that off. But there are some terrific authors, and we all love each other and support each other. And if you like a book on horses and I have a book on dinosaurs, I'm going to show you over to the horse lady. And it's just a community feel of, we're not in competition with each other. We're just all there to support each other and make sure that kids get books. And did you know that there's a saying, and I can't remember all of it, but something you want, something you need, something, I don't know what it is, and something to read.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little poem, and somebody told me it. So everybody come and buy a book for Christmas, because kids need to read.
And we're speaking specifically of the Georgetown Christmas Market, and we're going to be in the Georgetown Heritage Center. This is our third annual. It's starting to take off. I'm so excited about it, and people come to the Christmas Market itself from all over the country, right, and even parts of the world.
Now, last year, I think the last 2 years, we were in the market and with you at the Book Nook, but your book, Book Nook has gotten so big. I want you to know I am forfeiting the market this year, and I'm 100% with you. So there will be no more running back and forth.
I'm excited. And you get to stay warm and dry.
Yes, that's huge.
Yeah.
And not stand in the middle of the fire and the smoke.
Yeah. And you get out and get a cup of coffee. It's all great stuff. And it all happens in an old schoolhouse.
It's really cool. And, you know, we do have fun stuff for kids. So bring the kids.
Yes.
Because this year I know we're going to have some more coloring sheets. I know Cheryl Carpinello is going to be there
with her
unicorn, and the kids can take their picture with
Todd Funnestock with his fantasy. Yep. Oh, yep. We got, I think, 35 different authors coming.
And Todd has got some great things for the young adults. Yeah. Readers. He's just got this natural ability to entertain.
Yeah, it's great. But well, thank you for the shout on that there. So we need to wrap up here, but just want to tell everyone, this is Jerry Fabianic on KYGT, LPFM, 102.7, 103.9. And we've been visiting here on Writer's Talk with Lisa Reinecke up in the studio, the loft of the United Center of KGOAT. And appreciate you listening, and we'll be back at another time now. Okay, take care. Bye.